Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame. Thanks for staying with me. Joe Barker's our guest. Having a great visit with him. He's the top, one of the top futures on the planet, and in our age, and the author of a number of books, including Future Edge, including Five Regions of the Future. His films are absolutely outstanding, including his new one, which is Innovation at the Verge. Joel, it's joelbarker.com, right?
Yes.
That's one place, and starthrower.com is another place they can go. Find all
yep.
that. We're talking, Joel, about climate change. And in the last segment, you gave us a great report on some of the issues of Greenland. And you pointed out something I did not know. And I try to keep up with these things, but I did not know that Greenland was the second largest body of ice, of freshwater, largest store of freshwater after Antarctica. I guess I just never had thought about that. I mean, I knew it was the big one, and Iceland was the small one. But let me ask you a question. Wasn't there once upon a time forests on Greenland?
There is a history of both Iceland and Greenland. You have to remember that when the Vikings found Greenland and Iceland, they named Greenland to fake people out. Iceland to take people out.
That's the legend. But,
yeah, that's
but wasn't,
the legend, right?
Wasn't Greenland actually green once upon a time?
As my understanding of it, and I will double check this, is no, Iceland was. Iceland had greenery. But
so
Greenland has got thousands of years of ice on it for sure. We know that for sure. Now, if we go back 100,000 years, that may be the case, but Antarctica also, if we go back far enough, Antarctica will not have ice on it.
Well, and this is my point, though. This is making my point, Joel, because you and I both know that 10,000 years ago, 12,000 years ago, Ohio was under 5,000 feet of ice.
Exactly.
And so, so yes, and this is the point I've been making, yes, climate change is happening. Yep. We're still in the throes of climate change. We always will be. The question is, to me, is two things. Number one, how much are humans contributing?
Yeah.
And I think they're contributing some. You and I agree on that part. The second thing, though, and this is very important, what do we do about it? And how do we do something about it without making it a religion and without ruining our economy in the process, or asymmetrically ruining the American economy? That's right. Where my problems are, Joel.
Yeah. Well, let me say just a couple things about that. Number one, I've got another piece of research. I'm just looking for it on my desk right now, but I'm not going to find it in time. But it basically says 50% of glacier melting is natural. It's part of the general system. The other 50% is us.
Yeah.
So in other words, if you think about us speeding up, we're adding a blowtorch to a process that's natural. So, yes, the ice will melt off my roof in the spring naturally.
Right.
I'm going up with a blowtorch, and I'm going to make it happen twice as fast. The dilemma with that is when you add that speed, you make it much harder for the ecosystem, the natural response to these things. They can't move fast enough. They can't change fast enough. So it causes a lot of problems with the ecosystem. That's one concern. The second concern is that we have a lot of human beings in a place, the coastline, close to the ocean, where natural or not, 23 feet is going to cause a huge problem.
But it's not going to happen 23 feet overnight. I mean, there's not going to be a tsunami. It's going to creep over a period of time the way it's ebbed and flowed over millennia.
Exactly. But think about it. Remember, I said, what if it's 100 to 120 years? You want to move 3 billion people in 120 years?
No, that's
up land.
Yeah. Well, you know, Joel, Dr. John Christie is a scientist who, a lot of people don't realize this, when Al Gore got his Nobel Prize for his global warming work, he was one of several people who got the same award. There were multiple people who that award was bestowed on at the same moment, all for their work in climate, in their climate work. One of those guys, one of those Nobel winners, was a guy named John Christie from the University of Alabama, Huntsville. He's been on my show twice, and he has conflicting research for the climate change folks. And he talks about the fact that when he takes his measurements, he doesn't take them in urban areas on concrete. He goes out into the country where there's not reflection and re-radiation.
Yeah, I remember that argument. To that argument started back in the 90s, where they were saying, well, you got bad measurements. And I'll give you an example. They were pulling down satellite information. They're saying, see, the satellite information shows this temperature at this rate. Clearly, it's cooling, not it's warming. Well, then they found out that they were measuring the wrong things. They were reading it wrong. So part of what's going on, and it's a classic situation in science, which we have to honor, is when they do something in error, they go back and they fix it.
But Joel, you're in Arizona right now. I know you're nice and toasty down there. But the rest of the country is pretty much in the grip of a really tough winter. How do people get excited about global warming in a winter like this?
Well, because the difference between weather and climate is a pretty big difference. Weather is what happens day to day. Climate is what happens over large scale time. And you're right. The biggest challenge for us is to say, okay, the CO2, the other things that we're doing, the methanes, the heating of the planet is occurring at a rate we actually have capacity to slow it down and or stop it.
Yeah.
As an insurance package, it would be smarter to spend some money slowing it down and find out if we're wrong. Than to say, oh my God, the house really is on fire.
And when we come back after these messages, I want to stay with this, Joe. We have some other things on our list, but I want to stay with this because when we come back, I want you and I to talk about what should be done about how should we do this so that we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. So America isn't asymmetrically hurt more than say China is, and we'll talk about that. Take a quick break. Tintail. I'm Jim Blasingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.